You are about to enter a great adventure.
This is Strutting from Gorilla.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Strutting from Gorilla. I'm Mikey Cash. Next to me, as always, is Big Vito. Now, we were going to have Mike Sarge Riley with us for a WrestleMania preview episode, but with all our schedules kind of not aligning this week, we decided to pull an audible and give you guys a really fun episode about WrestleMania memories. So in this episode, Vito and I are going to talk about the very first WrestleMania that we ever watched live. So we're going to talk a little bit about it, what we remember from it. We're going to share some just kind of fun facts that we found from just some articles we found online. And I think it'll be a really cool episode. And we're kind of hoping that when we post this, people can sort of share what their WrestleMania memories are too. So we hope you join in the fun with us and as we get closer and closer to the show of shows. So let's just jump right in. Vito, how's it going, man?
Rocking and rolling, Mikey Cash. Ready to, you know, we're in WrestleMania season here. And I got to be honest with you. It is hot in the wrestling world right now. I mean, between AEW and WWE, all things are pointing up. Like, it is really, really good. The last episode of Dynamite was really good. The last episode, this is hot off the presses. Raw on March 25th. Unbelievably good. Unbelievably good. And we were talking about this before the show, but there's been a lot of issues with the way The Rock has come back, and he's gone against all the policies in WWE, like the Vince McMahon policies, and like it's been all over like the dirt sites. And he actually commented on one of them and said it was like horse shit or whatever. And last night on Raw, it was like Attitude Era Raw. I mean, people were saying stuff that they typically wouldn't say. So WrestleMania season is in full swing. And the ending of Raw, unbelievable. Best ending of Raw in the last 20 plus years. So that's saying a lot. I don't give praise like this very often. So, I go back and watch it. If you haven't seen Raw yet, I bet there's a lot of people on the internet that would agree with me. So
I don't doubt that. I don't doubt it, dude. All right. Well, that's high praise coming from Big Vito. He's been a harsh critic for some time, like both of us, but
yeah. I don't deal it out very often. So when I do, I'm not saying everyone's going to agree with me because that's not always true, but in my opinion, it was very good.
Let's put this way. Interesting man in the world.
I'll give you one little tidbit in it. They used blood on Raw and didn't censor it. In the last segment. So very good.
Okay. All right. There's some fodder for the next episode. Stay tuned next week. That is our WrestleMania preview with Sarge.
Yep. And I don't think Mama Rhodes is very happy right now. So
just okay. Hard just times.
Hard times,
brother. Hard times, baby. All right. So let's dive right in. You know what? I can't believe I forgot to even say this during our intro. What am I doing? Okay. Pay attention to the ticker down below. You can find us all over the socials. Go to our YouTube channel, like us, subscribe. We're getting closer and closer to that triple digit mark. So we really appreciate the people that jumped on. Like us and subscribe to us. We'd really love it. So, all right, without further ado, now, WrestleMania memories. Let's dive right in, Vito. Vito, I'm going to let you go first. What is your first WrestleMania memory?
Well, let me just say this. When I think of WrestleMania, the first thing that pops in my head, do you remember that? I think we played it on one of our episodes a few years ago. But you remember the generic, like, that's what pops in my head. And here's the crazy part. I don't even think I was around when some of those first WrestleManias came out, but that music, for some reason, is just stuck in my head. So first WrestleMania I remember, and it's a little tricky because we went back and forth on this, and I thought about it afterwards because I thought WrestleMania 9 was the first one that I like remember. But like, if you were gonna say, Anthony, what's the first WrestleMania and you like vividly remember it, it would be WrestleMania 13. And the only reason I remember this is because I remember WrestleMania 12 not seeing it. I remembered like I remember the Iron Man match and never being I remember never seeing that and it being like the pinnacle of matches because it was so good. And the whole heat with Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels after it. I just remember I never saw that live, or I never even saw that WrestleMania at one point. So like, okay, well then was it WrestleMania 9? Because I remember WrestleMania 9 was more gimmicky, right? It was like the Undertaker came out, they're in Caesar's Palace, like kind of the old school character WWF type WrestleMania. And it's like, it gets fuzzy, but I went with WrestleMania 13 because I remember that being like the first one I saw. And to me, that's like the beginning of the Attitude Era. So we can talk about it in a minute, but what was yours?
So mine was actually, it was WrestleMania 9. Yeah. I have this vivid memory of going to my Uncle Bob's house. Shout out Uncle Bob.
Uncle Bob.
Hanging out in his basement. And I sat down in front of the TV. And I think I was just taken aback by what I saw. And I'm going to show you what I saw. And this is what just captivated me as a 6 going on 7-year-old.
His opponent.
Black smoke.
Look at the vulture! Look at the vulture!
And the funeral chariot, the vulture there!
You know what's amazing about The Undertaker? A man that surrounds...
Unbelievable. I remember that moment when I'm sitting in front of the TV. I'm just... I can like picture myself just on the floor, cross-legged, watching that, and just like my mouth just being open. Like, what is that? So obviously I didn't come in at the very beginning of the show. We caught it like right in the middle.
Yeah.
When he was about to fight Giant Gonzalez. But oh my gosh, just that for a kid being able to see that in that moment, like a character that was like so much bigger than life. I was like, who is this? What, like, why is this guy walking around with an urn? I really didn't know anything at the time. So it was really, really just such a, like a formative experience for me. And I think just kind of got me started on the road we're on today.
And what is it?
35 years later. All right, jabroni.
I thought about it, Mikey, and you're a few years older than me. So I think WrestleMania 9, I definitely may not have watched that. I know I didn't watch that live because I would have been a few years younger than you. And there's no way I remember that. So, but no, that was a great WrestleMania. And I agree with you. I think as a kid, that's one that, you know, the aura of being at Caesar's Palace was very unique. And then they did such a great job of, and at that point, people didn't know if it was fake or real. Like, it, I mean, I think people knew, but nobody knew. Right. Mm-hmm. And which is kind of amazing that it lasted that long, that people would actually still think it was real. But hey, you know, this is the world we live in. Sometimes there are a lot of puppets, but it was a good WrestleMania. Lots of stuff that went on there. And plus, forget about The Undertaker, but Giant Gonzalez, like you said, I mean, he was a spectacle in himself, like just looking at the guy.
It's true. He had that with that big bodysuit with the with like the fur on it. I really don't know what they were implying, like that he was like some sort of Yeti man or something like that. But I don't know. But
I don't know.
Either way, it was just really a spectacle to watch. And I think that was the first time, obviously, that was the first time for me that I ever saw that. But that's always been something that I really loved about wrestling was not just the story, but like the spectacle of it too. I mean, that's what draws you in, right? I mean, we could get caught up in this dirt sheet stuff, and we still do from time to time, but like that stuff doesn't matter to me. I could care less about a star rating. I don't care about any of that stuff. Like what you're giving me on the screen, that's what I care about.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And at that time, there were no dirt sheets. There was no internet that we were watching. It was all kayfabe, and kayfabe was even better because you couldn't go and listen to the opinions of other people. You couldn't search Twitter. You couldn't. It was just a different era, right? It was like the Andre the Giant spectacle era, where like people all you always hear about Andre the Giant, but you never saw him, right? Because he wasn't even on TV. So You go to the event, you see him, and this was one of the better WrestleManias for sure. And I mean, I remember when I watched this. Obviously, the main event was a big deal. It was very odd. It was a very odd main event between Bret Hart, Yokozuna, and then Hulk Hogan comes back. And like at the time, nobody really understood what was going on. Why did, you know, Bret Hart win? And then right, Bret Hart won. Mm-mm. And then no, Yokozuna won, and then lost right away to Hulk Hogan. That's what it was. Yes.
Yeah.
And which is very odd, but it was, you know, Hulk. I think that's kind of the legend of Hulk Hogan, right?
Well, there's kind of a, it's funny that you even see it as like it was a good show, because for a lot of people, this is one of the worst WrestleManias of all time. There's so much story behind, I think, because of the ending, how bad it was. And so I also think there was a lot more going on kind of behind the scenes. And we'll get to that in a second, because we're going to talk about some fun facts about each show. But I wanted to just show the folks here the VHS covers of both WrestleMania 9 and WrestleMania 13, because, I mean, just so badass. I know that the resolution probably could be better, but look at that. I mean, Bret Hart is all over this thing. And you know how much I love a good Bret Hart.
Yeah, I think we all do. I also am a huge Bret Hart guy, so I get it. But what I find interesting about this, Mikey, is I feel like this is a weird time for WWE, right? Because WCW is in the fold, and their Bischoff's taken over, and they're I don't know if WCW at this point was, I don't think they were taking over the ratings, but they were definitely on the heels of WWE, and this is one of the last couple WrestleManias where it's kind of that character era of WWE, right? Where, you know, WCW came up with the phrase, this is where the big boys play, right? And they were trying to get away from those different characters. Like, I remember they had a guy WWE called the Friar. A Friar or something or other. I forget his name.
I don't remember that guy.
Oh, yeah. But they had people like that. They had, you know, just, it was all like different characters. It was, I mean, I get it. Like as a kid, I loved that. But it had played its time, and it was right at the end there. So, yeah.
Well, I think from what I remember at the time, I probably liked it as a kid.
You definitely did.
Because that's exactly who they were catering to. 100%. But one thing that I think I've started to realize about this particular one was, this might have been significant in the sense that this was the first time that you started to see like the crack in the armor for WWF, in that these things weren't going to work forever. And I think that's what it was. It was like the beginning of that, because the whole thing, obviously with the main event where Bret Hart loses and then Hogan somehow just steps in and wins the title. It's, I mean, what a weird way to end the show. I mean, look at that. He's got the black eye. Nothing about it really made sense. But at the time, I can remember cheering, because it just, you were sort of conditioned, right? You just cheer for Hogan. Hogan's coming out. You got to make sure that you get behind him. I mean, he's all American. The music's playing. Everyone's getting pumped up. And I think that this first WrestleMania really was that first time where you're like, okay, things aren't going to work this way forever. But you know, if I knew then what I know now, I would have been cheering for Bret, and I would have been very upset about this.
Yeah, I mean, because you think about it, at the time, you didn't know any of this stuff, and mm-hmm. you were just in awe of the show. But as you look back and you learn more and stuff comes out, you know, it definitely is a more controversial WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But before we go any further, what were some of the matches on the card? I remember a couple, because Shawn Michaels wrestled...
Tatanka.
Tatanka, that's who it was.
Tatanka.
Oh, there love so many Tatanka.
Things that I forgot. I tried. I didn't get to finish all of it, but I was trying to rewatch some of it because I just wanted to refresh my memory. And there's a couple things that stand out. One is that Luna Vachon was actually Shawn Michaels' manager in that opening match. She had like replaced Sherry, and Sherry comes back out, and those two start fighting. And it was and the match he had with Tatanka was actually really good.
Yeah, I remember that.
They put on like a really good show. And what I found out later from that article was one of these like fun facts about it was that this was the third consecutive WrestleMania that Michaels had opened. So he had opened, I think, WrestleMania 7 and 8. The WrestleMania 7, he was with the Rockers and he fought Haku and Barbarian. And then in WrestleMania 8, he fought Tito Santana. So this was kind of interesting that Michaels had already started developing a WrestleMania resume from
Mr. WrestleMania, and
breaking
man.
Into his single stuff. So that was kind of cool. I didn't even realize that. So
and
long.
Then WrestleMania 10, he had the ladder match with
Razor Ramon.
Did they open that? I don't remember.
No. It was sort of like more in the middle. But
yeah.
Speaking of Razor Ramon, he was actually on the card. I don't even remember who he wrestled, but the match was over in like 4 minutes. He basically came out, destroyed him, left. It was quick. I don't remember who it was.
Was it Jake the Snake?
I don't think it was Jake. But I think another match that kind of stands out that I just finished seeing was it was Mr. Perfect versus the narcissist Lex Luger. And man, poor Lex. He was doomed from the start with that kind of gimmick. It was so bad. But you know, he tried. I give him credit. And Mr. Perfect was like the perfect, quote unquote, opponent for somebody in that position. I didn't even realize I was doing that just now until I started talking. But
he was kind of the Kurt Angle of that generation. You know what I mean? Like, just a very technically sound wrestler.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But I was pleasantly surprised by how much I kind of liked Evil Doink. I thought he had a match, and he fought against Crush, who for some reason, like, it says Crush, and then on the back there's like a sunset with a bird, and I don't even understand. Like, I'm trying to understand his ring attire, and I'm watching it the other night, and I'm like talking to my wife, I'm like, what, why does he have a sunset? Like, it goes against the idea that he's coming out and he's gonna crush you. Is he gonna crush you while you're looking at a beautiful landscape? I mean, I don't know. Beautiful scenery while he crushes you. Who knows?
Yeah. Speaking of the scenery, though, like Bobby the Brain Heenan, I don't know where I remember this. He came out on a camel.
Backwards.
Right? Backwards. I think him and, what was it, Macho Man? Did they do the commentary? And maybe Vince McMahon, too?
It was Bobby the Brain Heenan. It was Macho Man. And it was JR. It was his first foray.
Oh.
Yeah, it was his first night with the company. Which, okay. So another fun fact here is that apparently at the time when JR was going from WCW to the WWF, he had had a radio show that was based out of Atlanta, I believe. And at the time it was bankrolled by WCW. He used that radio show and had Vince McMahon. I think he had Hogan. He had a couple of other people that were on WrestleMania on that radio show to promote the WrestleMania 9 show. So in a sense, WCW bankrolled some of the promotion for WrestleMania 9 at that time. So weird.
Weird times, man.
Very weird.
Weird times. No, it was a good one. It was a good one. And it was Bob Backlund that Razor Ramon faced.
Oh my gosh, Bob Backlund.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then I think Money Inc., right? When they were on were they on there? Was it Ted DiBiase and Irvin R. Scheister?
Oh yeah.
I think they were tag team champs. Anyways, I know what last interesting fact about that WrestleMania, and I don't know why I remember this, but Bam Bam Bigelow was supposed to face Kamala, and it never never happened because of time constraints. So it got cut from the match, which would have been a good match, actually.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. Anyways, great WrestleMania. Was there a celebrity there too? Usually they always had celebrities.
They had Natalie Cole, who was a singer at the time. I don't remember otherwise.
Yeah. It'll be like one day when they look back and Limp Bizkit is at WrestleMania 17 or something. They're like, who the hell is Limp Bizkit? All right. So WrestleMania 13, that's the one I remember the most. And it's funny because you were over your uncle's and he kind of introduced you into this. And I remember when I was a kid, how I got introduced to wrestling was I went over my uncle's one time and I was like real nervous about sleeping over there. I hated sleeping away from my house, just like any other kid. And he threw on a VHS and it was one of the old WWF home videos where they just like taped random things. And I'll never forget the thing I remember most about it was that it focused on Bret Hart and it was all about the Kiss My Foot match with Jerry Lawler. And I just, that was what opened me up to wrestling for some reason. I don't know why, but I watched it, fell in love with it. And I don't know if that was well before WrestleMania 13. I have no idea because that VHS could have been, I could have watched it whenever. I just remember once I saw it, I was like, oh, I got to see more of this and started watching more and more and more. And I think WrestleMania 13 was the first pay-per-view that I watched. And that was the one it had Sid Vicious versus Undertaker. Undertaker won the belt. I think that was the first time Undertaker main evented WrestleMania. Fun fact, Sid Vicious, or Psycho Sid, whatever you want to call him, he was only part of two WrestleManias. He main evented both of them. So main event, Psycho Sid.
I mean, two for two. Holy smokes.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard a lot of people say that WrestleMania 13 was not one of the best WrestleManias, actually the least purchased WrestleMania.
Really?
Yeah. Because at that point, that's when WCW was taking over the ratings and WWF was, again, I consider this the I'm not gonna say this is where the Attitude Era started because we've talked about that. You can talk about a million different things, but this was realistically, I would say, the first WrestleMania on the start of the Attitude Era. It was, I think the match that ultimately everyone talks about is Bret Hart versus Stone Cold with the double turn. Unbelievable match, and a fun fact about that match is that everyone remembers, the bloody face of Stone Cold at the end, and he passed out because it was a submission match, and Ken Shamrock was the referee. And before the match, Bret Hart told Stone Cold that he was going to blade him. So Bret Hart was the one that actually bladed Stone Cold, and Stone Cold didn't want to do it, and he almost backed out of doing it. Because technically they weren't supposed to do it and it was against the rules in WWE.
Right, blading to was. Cut yourself. Yeah.
And they did it. And, we all know how that turned out. It's an iconic photo and Vince McMahon must have not been too pissed off because it was all over Stone Cold's DVDs and shirts with it and whatnot. But ultimately it could be one of the best matches of all time. I mean, it's not easy to pull off the double turn. We've talked about that match before. I'm not going to go too much into it, but it was an unbelievable match. There's some other really cool matches on there. I just blanked on the other matches. I know there was the Nation of Domination versus the Road Warriors and Ahmed Johnson. And the Nation of Domination at that time was Savio Vega, Crush, and Farouk. And Farouk actually dislocated his shoulder. He went over him, like they did a move. He went, I think, Animal or Hawk threw him over the rope and he got tangled in the rope and dislocated his shoulder. But I believe that was a street fight. What other matches are missing? I think that was Mankind.
Rocky Maivia versus Sultan.
Sultan. Yeah, that's right. Yes, that's correct. Oh, that's what it was. It was Mankind and Vader was the tag team against Paul Bearer was the manager. Who did they face? Oh, it's going to drive me crazy. I can't think of who it was. Anyways, it was a good pay-per-view. I remember it. It was for me.
Oh, okay. It was Owen Hart and British Bulldog.
That's who it was. And they were the tag team champions. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. It was the first pay-per-view where, again, you contrast that against WrestleMania 9, and it was very, very different, right? It felt far more real and less character-y than WrestleMania 9, and like I said, really opened up that Attitude Era. And here's the fun fact, too. I don't know if you remember, but so Bret Hart came in as a good guy. Stone Cold came in as a bad guy. They did the double turn. And I think to even more solidify his turn, they brought him back in the main event to kind of screw The Undertaker. To screw Psycho Sid. And Undertaker ended up winning. And then after that, Bret Hart formed the New Heart Foundation with British Bulldog, Owen Hart, you know, that whole Jim Neidhart. So very interesting. It was just a turning point for a lot of things in WWE. And Shawn Michaels, I don't think, was part of that pay-per-view.
Because he wasn't.
He lost his smile. But I do remember him being involved. He was on the WWE hotline, or maybe he came out and commentated or something. I think he did. Yeah,
that's so interesting. It's funny that you talk about WrestleMania 13, because I always feel like that one, I don't skip it on purpose, but it's something that I just always glance over, because it kind of feels like in my head it always just goes WrestleMania 12 and then WrestleMania 14, where the Attitude Era just like takes off. But you kind of forget that there's that one in between. And it was Undertaker's first main event. It was the first time he won the world, not the first time he won the world championship, but the first time he wins a WrestleMania main event.
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny. It's just funny to me that the things that we pay attention to when we're younger, you know, how that like forms how like this narrative of like, oh yeah, I just completely forgot WrestleMania 13 existed.
I also don't know if this is a true fact or not, but I think that might be the first WrestleMania where they used the number 13 instead of the Roman numeral.
I think you're right.
Because when you look at it, it says like, it always says WrestleMania 13, here comes, or no, WrestleMania 13 Heat. I remember it had flames all over it.
Do you mean like this? Well, I mean, it's kind of heat. Actually, it's no, it says, no, yeah, you're right.
No, but that isn't the
that's
cover.
That's the Canadian one. Sorry. That's the Canadian one. They're
I'm not saying that's not the cover, but there's like, I remember being black and like almost Undertaker colors.
Yeah.
And they had like flames fire around it. Yeah. Yeah. That might be the Blockbuster version.
Yeah, it might have been the Canadian Blockbuster version.
But I can't go on. I mean, we talked about the first WrestleMania we remember or watched, but to me, the pinnacle is always going to be WrestleMania 14, because I was there, and I'm not going to talk about it anymore because I have a whole episode on it and I have an article up. But WrestleMania 14 to me will always be the one that has a soft spot in my heart. So,
of course,
and I still think to this day that that's one of the best, if not the best, WrestleMania of all time. I mean, it's definitely, I mean, think about it, that was in the Fleet Center. And now they do WrestleManias in stadiums.
Football stadiums.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's just a whole new, different production. I feel like that was one of the last WrestleManias that could handle. I don't even know. They probably could have been in Foxborough Stadium and and sold that out. But that, just remember that being, you know, outside of Madison Garden, it's like one of the last true WrestleManias in an arena. So,
wow. What a stroll down memory lane this episode's been. This is fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have one last fun fact for you, because it has to do with both people that were involved. All right. You mentioned Bret Hart. We were talking about Hulk Hogan. Those two actually are the only two people to have what they call the WrestleMania hat trick, where they had three WrestleMania matches for the World Heavyweight Championship, the Intercontinental Championship, and the Tag Team Championship. The only two to do it.
Interesting.
Weird.
Very weird. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's very interesting.
These are the stats that people come up with. Sometimes I feel like I know a good portion about wrestling, but then I read something like this What Culture article and I learn something new. So it was really cool.
Let me ask you a question. When you think about the Attitude Era, like, name five things just quickly that pop in your head. Just quickly, five different things.
Five things about the Attitude Era?
Just that remind you of the Attitude Era.
A dumpster match. It's the first thing that pops up. I don't know why. Obviously, DX.
Okay.
Another thing that comes to mind with the Attitude Era is Three Faces of Foley. It just comes to mind. Obviously, Stone Cold Steve Austin. And like the Zamboni, I just think of that. Like, it's just, these are like, I don't know if it's just free association or what. You got me?
Yes. one more. You got one more.
The last one I'll probably say is The Rock. I mean, his rise to power there. What about you?
Well, the reason I ask is I was hoping you would hit on what I was going to come.
Oh, well,
what I was
going to say next. But you didn't. That's okay. Something you just dropped on me right here on the air, Vito.
I know, but I was thinking sometimes we're on the same wavelength, and sometimes I was thinking you would hit this, but to me, one of the things is JR and the King being commentary. Oh,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree that would be one, if now that I say it,
you're probably like, oh, yeah. Well, yeah, now that you say so, it, of course.
So WrestleMania 13 was the first time that they commentated together by themselves.
That is awesome.
There you go. Yeah. That's why I said that, because I think now that I mentioned it, you probably didn't think of it, because obviously you hit on everything else. But realistically, they're the ones that voice the Attitude Era. So more so than anybody, like, I feel like they're ones that kind of represent that. And it was very interesting. So there you go. There's my facts for you.
There it is.
We're full of insight here at Strutting from Gorilla on WrestleMania season. It's like our Christmas as a wrestling fan. Mm-hmm. And we are in the pinnacle of it here. We are going to have a show next week with Sarge. Yeah, with Sarge. He's a busy man. You know, he's out there doing card expos and, you know, commentating, or not commentating, but doing the PA for the Revolution. Yep. So, you know, he's a busy man. When we get him on here, we're glad he comes with us. Me too. And I think, you know, it's going to be a busy month here. This is a really hyped up WrestleMania. So we'll see. I can't wait to talk about this card. I got so much pent up like energy here. That it'll be good. And you know, I'm excited, man. Yeah. I'm excited. It's a good time of year.
Me too. And you know, like you said, Vito, next week we're gonna have our WrestleMania preview episode. So be on the lookout for that. Stay tuned. And, you know, once we drop this episode today, you know, share with us, share it in the comments, share it on the socials. Tell us about what your first WrestleMania memory is. I think it'd be really cool for everybody to kind of share what their experiences are. So we'd love to hear from you guys. But that's our memories. And until next time, folks, keep on strutting, jabronis.